We have all sorts of things that we call God. We call him all-knowing, all-loving, all-merciful. Sometimes we even call him justice itself. But there is one name for God that I suspect most of us will say and don't put a whole lot of thought to. Almighty. That is, all-powerful. For some reason, we've shied away from this idea of an all-powerful God, and we've shied away from the idea that religion, far from being some sort of therapy just to help us feel better about the fact that we die, actually has power. This is, for example, why in pagan religion they would offer worship and sacrifice to their false gods, because the demons pretending to be those gods would promise them favors in return for that false worship and those false sacrifices. By worshiping those false gods like Zeus, Ares, Thor, Ra, Aphrodite, Jupiter, Saturn, the pagans, what they wanted to do is secure the favor of that demon, of that false god, who was pretending to be a real god, and to win favors for their battle, or for their love, or for their fertility, either in land or marriage, or whatever other thing it is they wanted. They wanted some power over their deity's power. This does not work with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Most High God, the God whom we worship. It does not work because our God has all the power in the universe. We can never make a claim to it because he needs nothing from us. And he has this power simply because of who he is. Look at the examples we hear in Scripture today. In the first reading, God, through his prophet, heals Naaman from leprosy. He gives Paul hope, which allows him to preach the gospel while he was in Rome in prison, ready and waiting to be executed. And in the gospel, Jesus heals a leper almost as an afterthought. He says, "Go show yourself to the priest," and they're just healed. He doesn't even have to say it. The Bible is full of these stories, and especially the gospels. For example, Lazarus, he was raised after being dead for days. And Jesus, all he had to do to raise him was say, "Come out." Didn't break a sweat. Jesus casted an entire legion of demons out of a man simply by saying, "Leave him," and they were gone. And Elijah, who was God's prophet in the Old Testament, started a 2-year drought just by telling the sky, "Hey, stop raining." Because that was what God's will was. God has immense power. And we hear about it all the time in the Bible, and he exercises it effortlessly. But none of these examples I've given you come close to the greatest exercise of power that we have seen God exert, the power of creation itself. In the beginning, God created. These stories of creation that we have in the Bible, they don't aim to teach us the science of creation, but why God created. And if you look, both of these stories culminate in the same place, the creation of humanity in God's image and likeness. This is important to note because it's the exact opposite of what the pagan religions all around Israel would have been telling people. In their stories, their false gods did not actually have creative power. They enslaved the human race to serve them for their own whims, for murder or lust or laziness or whatever it is they wanted. And so all around Israel, you had people who thought that human beings had no dignity and no worth, and especially women, they were just seen as tools. And then in the midst of that, we get this incredible story of creation. The truth of creation, reflected in Genesis 1 and 2, is that there is one God, and he created everything, and he needs nothing from us. And because of this, his act of creation was generous. In fact, the only reason a God like that would have created anything was because of love. To love is to give oneself away in the service of another. And that's really the only way to explain what God did when He created. He created everything. Genesis 1:16, it says, He created the sun and the moon and the stars. And it says it just like that, and the stars. Now think about what those three words are. That's a direct quote from Genesis, and the stars. In our galaxy alone, there are probably 100 billion stars. And there are probably 100 billion other galaxies. That's a lot of stars. And it's all spread across 46 billion light years worth of space. And it's three words, and the stars. Again, almost an afterthought to God. And this is the God we worship. He has effortless power and dominion over all creation. And He created us because in His mind, He thought of the idea of you and of me and of everyone else in this room. And He thought, I want you to exist. And so we did. He continues thinking about us each and every moment. I love you, and I want you to exist. And so we continue to do so. When we approach God in prayer, how often do we sheepishly think, maybe you can do something about this? Maybe. Maybe the God who created 10 billion trillion stars, I had to look it up to figure out how to say that, by the way, created nearly as an afterthought, maybe He can help us. Of course He can. And not only can God help us, but St. Peter reminds us that He wants to. In his letter, St. Peter says, cast all your worries upon Him because He cares for you. God wants to help each and every one of us, each and every one of you. He wants to free you so that nothing can stop you from loving Him back. He wants to free you so that you can become that beautiful creation He made you to be. He wants to free you so that you can be happy. Because God thinks you are worth the trouble of creation. You are His child, and He loves you. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of our Almighty God, who is more powerful than anything you can possibly imagine, and who loves you more than anything you can possibly imagine. Do not be afraid. Instead, look up at the stars tonight. Think about what God did for you. And remember, God did this for me because He thinks I am worth it.